There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil F. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And I'm excited to welcome the program again, author Rob Roselli. And Rob, I really want to break down Revelation some more. We've been hearing the feedback of some of the things that you found and uncovered in Revelation. And I want to kind of get right to the text tonight. How are you?
Yeah, how are you? And thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And again, you see every week from Donald Trump going on Saturday Night Live to some of the craziness that's going on all over the world. You predicted this a couple of years ago, or even 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, what I did and what we're focused on the last few weeks is a line-by-line interpretation of Revelation 17 and 18, which I believe is the physical manifestation of what is going behind the scenes biblically and spiritually outside of this four-dimensional scam we call reality. And it's really, and I'll say this again, unfortunately, everything that I spelled out in there is coming to fruition. And over the last several weeks, I've tried to build a little bit of background, you know, as to why the nation of physical Israel is not God's chosen people. They gave that up wholesale 2,000 years ago, and I cited scripture and just barely scratched the surface as to why that's just wrong. And it's really misled of a lot of the so-called American evangelicals. This is why you have a blind and rabid support for the state of Israel, based on people like John Hagee, Hal Lindsey, and some of these other guys that are just wrong in this regard. And again, I'm going to say this. I'm not saying this. I'm not one of these Jews run the world and anti-Zionists and this sort of thing. I mean, I support the nation of Israel. They went through the second half of Ezekiel chapter 36, where Israel, the establishment of Israel is a biblical miracle. But God explains in Ezekiel chapter 36 why He established it. You know, He says He did it for His sake and His holy name, and not the nation of Israel. But anyway, you know, what I'm trying to do is make some points here. I know we've been going off on a lot of tangents and understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about the end of time and the end of the world. I'm just trying to plug as many holes as I can in the short time that we have together on this show.
Well, definitely, Robin. So you only really look at 17 and 18 as the two areas of Revelation where you spot a lot of what's happening today, you think, is 17 and 18? Any other chapters in Revelation?
Well, it's a lot to go into, okay? You know, obviously, look, in the first couple of chapters, and he talks about the seven churches, to the Apostle John. I mean, those were seven literal churches that existed in the time of John the Apostle when he wrote Revelation around AD 95. But, look, obviously, I mean, the number seven is related to the biblical completion, okay? Numbers in the Bible are symbolic, okay? And we touched on this in the past several weeks, and I have a video about this. Again, my website is boxofsunglasses.com, and if you go on my on the video page of the website, I talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it has to do with numbers. Okay, in Matthew, remember 15, and Jesus says 15, and Matthew 15 and 16, and he goes into a tirade about the Pharisees. He says, "Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees," okay, so where the leaven of the Pharisees, and what he's really talking about is the occultism of the Jewish leadership, okay, which gets into the Kabbalah, which from there is a short jump into Freemasonry, which is really the driving force behind the Illuminati or the Skull and Bones characters, the Anglo-American establishment, or what I call the un-American genocidal complex that really runs the world, okay? These are nothing short of psychopaths and control freaks, and we're seeing it. But to answer your question, you know, again, what's happening is overall what I predict, or not, what I see as being predicted in Revelation 17, 18 is what is exactly unfolding right now as we speak, today being Monday, November 9th, 2015, and that is a very calamitous economic collapse, okay, followed by a very short time span where there will be a peace treaty and worldwide peace and safety. And this is, people that are familiar with that term, you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, people will be saying, you know, peace and safety, and, you know, and a danger and the end is near. When that's basically the Cliff Notes version of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So basically, what I'm saying, economic collapse, a messiah figure or so-called messiah figure like Obama, this multi-named image that we have in the White House comes to the rescue. But everybody knows it's a serpent's pit, okay? You know, you're dealing with Russia, China, Iran, and nations like this. So it's just going to be one big load of crap, excuse my French. That's what's going to happen after this economic collapse. And immediately after that is in the United States, what I'm calling the Whore of Babylon, will be ambushed in some kind of calamitous nuclear and or electromagnetic pulse attack, and the United States will be wiped off the face of the earth in a day or two, which is becoming a more and more likely scenario the more you read.
Oh, yeah.
The danger
the wrong people. Yeah, the wrong people don't pay attention. And we are... as I talked to Joanne Herring from the Diamonds, I'm trying to remember, Charlie Wilson's War. She was the one that, I guess, seduced Charlie Wilson, but whatever. She's connected highly in the Republican Party, and she told me 3 years ago that China, Iran, Korea, and Russia are all allies. So... whenever China says they want to finally take their debt back and say, forget you, you don't pay anymore, we're going to war to take you out because you have nothing, your economy is nothing now, and then everyone gets their nuclear resources together and just goes out as allies and goes out on a full-fledged war against us, we don't have anyone to protect us. Correct?
No. No, and that's exactly right. Okay, and there's precedents for this kind of calamitous collapse that I'm talking about. If you go back to Daniel chapter 5, I mean the Babylon, okay, the revitalized Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, and eventually his grandson Belshazzar. Okay, that collapse, or that physical takedown of that of Babylon, okay, in 636 B.C. happened, or excuse me, 536 B.C., you know, happened literally overnight. I mean, obviously the buildup was there. I mean, the Medes and the Persians were moving in, but you could just see the arrogance of Belshazzar, and people that read Daniel 5, or if you're not familiar, Daniel 5 is what I'm referring to. You can pick that up and you can read that in your Bible in the Old Testament. But anyway, it literally fell overnight. So in other words, like Belshazzar was partying in his palace, just the same way Obama just goes and plays golf and parties on and everything's a big party. Literally overnight, the Medes and the Persians had moved in. They dammed the Euphrates River, moved into the capital. Okay, and overtook the palace and killed everybody, and it was just, and all of a sudden it was just gone. Almost like an ambush kind of scenario is what I'm painting for the modern day or the mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. And you can see it happening right now. with the illegal immigration, okay? You got Russian subs snooping around. You got Chinese warships snooping around. And everything's a big party. You still got these bozos on TV lying to us about the U.S. economy and the 5% unemployment. Look at that right there. That's a number that absolutely fascinates me, for example, talking about economic collapse, okay? Right now, mathematically, there's 100 million people not in the labor force, okay? And on a working age, I figure around 250 million people. That means that we have an unemployment in this nation of somewhere between 30 to 40%, okay? But how is the government, and people say, well, where all the depression? Where's all the bread lines? The bread lines today are the EBT cards and government welfare payments and this sort of thing and food stamps. They're papering it over. You're not seeing the food because they didn't have the technology that we have today. 70, 80 years ago when you had the Depression. Okay, now you can give people that can't afford food, you can give them, debit cards, government-issued debit cards, and they can go and buy the food and whatever it is they need and the unemployment and this sort of thing. So it's being covered over. And then you get this liar, Obama, this image of the beast, okay, getting on TV and his government lackeys behind him telling everything's rosy and the economy's great and we have 5% unemployment. It's a joke. The way the government counts unemployment is literally like taking a measuring cup with a hole in the bottom of it. I mean, literally, if people come off unemployment, the government assumes that they're working, and really what's happening is their unemployment benefits ran out. Plus, nobody has a handle on what the true national debt really is. The number in Times Square says, I think it's $19 trillion now. But really, when you look at unfunded liabilities,
exactly. Yeah, I mean,
we're somewhere between $100 and $200 trillion. Okay, it's literally.
Right, look
10
how many
times.
People are on disability that they don't count unemployed. That's used based on, you know, a bad back or something, and some doctor writes a note, and yet they could be working still. I mean, I forgot the percentage of people that are you know, like remember what Romney said that how many people. Do not pay taxes in this country? 47%, right?
It's an absolutely ridiculous number. And let's just talk about that. Because, you know, what we're trying to tie in Revelation and what we're talking about right now is the calamitous economic collapse that is before us. So basically, what we're trying to tie it to the current events. I think that's a relevant question. But basically, another way to look at it is you got 250 million working age people. I'm just estimating, okay, out of a nation of 300 million, and of course you got tens of millions of illegal immigrants that nobody's even counting. But let's just ignore that for now. Just say we have a 300 million population. You got 250 million, roughly, I figure, of working age people, and of those, 100 million are not in a working. Are not in the workforce, are not participants
right in
the workforce. So, and that's multiple, you know, the economic collapse blog, and you're not going to read this on Fox News, okay? So if you're watching Fox News and CNN, then, I sympathize with you if you really think that you're getting your news from those channels. But anyway,
right.
So you have 100, let's just keep it simple, let's just say 100 over 250, that's around 40%, that's 10 over 25, that's around 40%. But and then you also need to realize that of the people that are working, okay, so you have 250 minus 100, you have 150 people working, and half of those people, that's 75 million people, work for the government. There's some level of government, which means they produce nothing. Okay, they from an economic standpoint, they essentially are welfare recipients themselves. Okay, because government workers produce nothing. All they do is suck off the teat. Of the hog. So in other words, you have 75 million private sector employees that are carrying the load for 300 million people, okay? And look at that 75 million number of so-called private sector employees. It's not manufacturing, okay? It's not electronics. A lot of it is retail, healthcare, hotel workers, hamburger flippers, and these sort of things. And I'm not denigrating those people. Like we've all held those jobs on our way up the ladder, or the way this country used to work. But what I'm saying is that there's no support system. This whole economy is as fraudulent as the person now presiding over it, that being this image, this multi-name scam named Obama or Sobarka or Barry Sotaro, whatever the hell the guy's real name is. Okay, it's as fake as he is. And I'm not pinning the whole blame of this on Obama. Okay, Obama is just, he's emblematic of what we've become. Okay, but this situation has been building for the past 100 years in this country alone under the guidance, the tutelage, and the control of what I call the un-American genocidal complex, or what people know as the Eastern Establishment, what President Eisenhower, former President Eisenhower, called the military-industrial complex. Okay, Obama is merely the latest manifestation, or he is the face of those faceless people that really run this country and the world, i.e., the economic center of the world, i.e., Mystery Babylon. Okay. And then another aspect we need to look at is the level of debt that this nation goes into literally every day. Okay, this is another number that infatuates me. You know, we're getting into all these complex numbers. A lot of these economics people, even the so-called conspiracy kooks, they go deep into numbers, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's unnecessary, but the two numbers, one of them I already talked about, the other number that absolutely infatuates me is the debt number, okay? And this is the online deficit, okay? So in other words, when the government goes in and says, the deficit's $19 trillion, but what the government's really doing is they're stealing money out of Social Security and other places and taking that cash and using it to cover expenses for things like these illegal wars, illegal immigration, Obamacare exchanges, Congress's free health care, all these things that it shouldn't be spending money on. It's taking the money out of other sectors and pouring it into and just moving, shifting money around. Okay, so in other words, they're taking money for the electric bill and putting it towards the car payment, say, which if you were a private company, you'd be in jail, but the government, it's just a matter of business. But so in other words, forgetting that whole situation, the government goes into debt every year to the tune of around, say, $3.6 trillion. It takes in around, say, $2 trillion every year in tax revenues. So what it breaks down to is that literally every day of the year, 7 days a week, the government goes into debt to the tune of $4 to $5 billion a day.
And that
works out to about $1.2 to, say, $1.5 trillion. And these are rough numbers, okay, but now, if you break that down, 365 days in a year, it comes out to around $4 to $5 billion a day.
Oh my gosh! So we're gonna have to take a break. Let's take a break, and when we get back, we gotta jump back to Revelation. It's great when you come up with these things. And I was listening to last week's show and trying to research to specifically understand Revelation more a second time through. For listeners out there, if you're fact checking Rob today and you're seeing different things, he's brought up some very interesting things that we're going to have on the show, especially that former Nazi that died. Well, I'd love to talk about him one time. Rob has brought up different people. We're really going to go in line by line Revelation 17, 18. I was hoping to go through all of Revelation, but Rob really sees the importance of line by line 17, 18. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. Amazing how quickly we're already into November. Amazing guests. You have to tweet me at Total Tutor to find out all the different guests, or go to TotalTutor.net, click on the Total Education Network, and listen. And it's very nice that you can subscribe to Rob and our show every week out on iTunes. Subscribe to the show and listen to it every week, and then you could just plug it right into your iPod or iPad or whatever and continue breaking down Revelation and different things like that. Now, Rob, we'll jump to this again another time, but I found the word, some of the revelations. I'm going to find it right now. You talked about, and we're on verse 17, one of the seven angels who has seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you punishment of the great prostitute." And you try to mention some of the people who are the great prostitutes. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery. And the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with wine and her adulteries. And so you're talking basically, Rob, about the United States, right? What's happening in the U.S.
Exactly. There can be no other nation fits the bill, okay? And prior to my breakdown of the line-by-line breakdown of these two chapters, okay, I go through, there's a huge introduction into this as to why there's no other candidate, or there's other candidates. Let me say this. I mean, so-called biblical scholars, I mean, they have given us the Roman Catholic Church, the 10-nation European Union, even Saudi Arabia, I have seen, you know, as a candidate for as the mystery Babylon, or the literal physical Babylon that's in Iraq, and when the Iraq War 10 years ago, people saying, well, that's, you know, Babylon's going to be rebuilt, the United States is going to rebuild Babylon, and that's going to be the mystery Babylon, and that kind of simplistic approach, but absolutely not true. Okay, so let's just, I think the best way to do it is just continue on what we were
right, and then yeah, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go through all of it. I have Revelation pulled up, and then we're going to go through it, and then you can tell me some other scripture verses, then we'll be ready to move on. But I keep it at least remembering myself by having the scripture out. So I remember the adulteries. I'm just trying to summarize for last week. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. And who do you feel that is? You feel that's the basically that's where your book name and everything comes out. It's specifically, you're looking at specifically the people in the United States. They're looking to ruin the world completely, right? By the greatest nation in the world from this specific verse, right?
Yeah, well, basically the United States, I mean, the Federal Reserve System, I mean, that is, you know, we have essentially hoard ourselves and the politics of this nation, and that's what's getting at here. And the symbolism of harlotry and whoredom was huge in the Old Testament, okay? If you read, I can pick any number of verses in the Old Testament, but just read, you know, when the show is over, when you get some time, read Ezekiel chapter 23, for example. And the language in Ezekiel chapter 23, talking about Israel, okay, is borderline pornographic. Okay, the way God describes what a whore the two parts of ancient Israel had become, okay, you know, the northern, the 10 tribes, and the, you know, of Israel, and the southern, you know, Judah, which was tribe for Judah and Benjamin, okay, you know, where Jesus came through. Okay, but the language there, that's the most prominent and most glaring example I can think of this symbolism of a whore, okay? And he uses, you know, God uses physical symbolism to describe spiritual whoredom, okay? And if you read, you know, another good one to read is the book of Hosea, okay? And the prophet Hosea actually marries his wife, Gomer, okay, and as a symbol, and Gomer symbolizes the whoredom or the whore of Israel, okay? And the brief history behind that, the way I can tie this into this whole thing is the Jews, okay, the Jews wrote something called the Kabbalah, okay, which is, you know, these Jewish mystics, the Pharisees and those kinds of people, the money changers, okay, the enemies of Christ, you know, in the four Gospels, okay, you know, in the centuries leading up to and after, you know, the year zero, in the AD era, okay, they wrote something called the Kabbalah, which is the backbone of Freemasonry, which ties into what I was talking about just before, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the study of occultism and numerology and numbers and wizards and witches and the kind of thing you read about in, say, Deuteronomy before 1 Kings 17 and 18, when Elijah takes on Ahab and Jezebel, remember the male, female, okay, Ahab, you know, the King Ahab and his wife, the whore goddess, okay, she symbolizes the whore goddess Isis, or the female that we talked about briefly in the past, okay, this is the yin-yang principle, the black and white principle, the two columns of Freemasonry, okay. So that is what's in focus here, okay, that's the kind of spiritual harlotry or spiritual whoredom that's being talked about, okay, and no nation, you know, has taken over that role as a world leader, a focal point of world events and world economics as the United States, okay, and the fact that as we are speaking, the United States economy is literally hemorrhaging, okay, overnight. As we speak, November 9th, 2015 means that time is getting short because this mystery Babylon is the center of economic power, and the way things are going, we are losing that status literally every day. I mean, China's making the moves to basically replace the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency with the yuan, okay, their national currency. And China's got problems of its own, by the way, okay? So I'm not saying China's a great nation. You know, Russia's doing the same thing. Okay, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and, you know, we can spend the whole show talking about the whole scam with the gold situation.
Exactly.
Well,
anyway. So basically, am I correct that you basically see our Federal Reserve System, you see specifically the harvesting of baby parts, you see the specific situation of eliminating God. All this is the Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes. So you're basically seeing Satan doing its work with a variety of people in the United States. Then let's go
we've whored ourselves. Okay, we've whored ourselves, just like Israel, the Old Testament, except we are many times worse, okay, than Israel, the Old Testament. And, you know, again, and there's precedent for that. You know, because, you know, if you read, for example, Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, you know, basically, I'm going to summarize real quick. It says, well, you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Word of God, okay, or, you know, the Word of God, or, you know, God in the flesh, you know, the Word became flesh, John chapter 1. They didn't have that benefit. And you see how bad they were, you know, just reading some of those books and those chapters I just mentioned. You fast forward to the United States, okay, and how we were founded as a Christian nation, okay, and it's written literally, I mean, the Creator and divine providence is written into our declaration, and our greatness, you know, whether people want to believe it or not, is based on the freedom as established by biblical principles, you know, liberty, proclaimed liberty throughout the land. You know, Leviticus 25 is on a liberty belt on display in the city of Philadelphia, which was named after the Philadelphia, you know, the best church, the best of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation that we talked briefly about before, you know, Philadelphia, William Penn, okay, a devout Christian. Okay, so even in the name Philadelphia, you can see the biblical nature of this nation's founding. So to go from the nation's founding to some of the things you just mentioned, okay, now I just made this video, for example, called The Baby Guillotine, okay, where I make the argument, where I say it's time that we need to have a logical argument of the need for a guillotine that chops the heads off babies. And the video is posted on my site, again, boxofsunglasses.com, and I don't want to go off on that tangent, but what the point is that we have become so debased, and we are in such debauchery, and we've become so McCabe and a death cult in this nation. We've gone from a nation founded on the Gospels and the Bible to a nation where we literally suck the brains out of a baby's skull in court and call it reproductive rights, or in the case of Obama, okay, a baby's born, and Obama voted against something called the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act, so a live baby that was meant to be aborted, that's sitting there alive, should be allowed to die, okay, and this all, again, this all stems from the radical environmental movement, okay, which are just nothing but a bunch of population control genocidal maniacs, i.e. the Un-American Genocidal Complex, okay, that's the book on my website, when you go to the site, you'll see it there. That's what I'm talking about, and ultimately what these people are all worshiping is nature, okay, we're getting back to nature, and what is nature symbolized by, the earth is called Gaia, okay, which is basically a female goddess. You get that whoredom, or you get that whore symbolism, by worshiping nature, which again ties back to the Isis, the female aspect of the god or the goddess, going all the way back to ancient Egypt. And of course, again, the male aspect, as I've talked about on past shows, is symbolized by her husband, Osiris, or Ra, okay, which is symbolized by the pyramid, the stone that the builders rejected, okay, Psalm 118, okay, or Matthew 21, Jesus said, you know, the stone that the builders rejected. What he's talking about is the stone that's missing from the top of the Great Pyramid of Giza, which just so happens to be symbolized by a certain illuminated eye, or all-seeing eye of Horus or Osiris, on the back of your Federal Reserve note. So you can see how all these things are tied together. Okay, those same Federal Reserve notes that we were just talking about, they're essentially ruthless. Worthless.
So we get
printing so many of them. So this is not an accident, is what I'm saying.
Right. Let we get back. We continue line by line, Revelation, the two chapters, and we'll see where Rob takes us next, scripture-wise. Then Rob's going to take us to some of these specific people, you know, just talking about specific different things that are in his book. Go to boxofsunglasses.com, purchase it, or follow him at Rob Roselli. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalEducation.net for more information. Twitter, TotalEducation, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalEducation, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, at TotalEducation. And I'm with Rob Roselli, boxofsunglasses.com, to find out more information. So we've gone through chapter 17, verses all the way to 6. I think we went further, but not much more. And you got two chapters, so there's a lot more work we have to work on. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean specifically enough? I mean,
which line are you reading?
6.
Which line did you read?
Chapter 7. The woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus.
Basically, again, that's this concept of the whore goddess. Okay, this is ancient Egypt. Okay, and if you look now, the best example, you know, in this case that comes to mind is an entity like the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, because the Roman Catholic Church is nothing. Well, all they did was they took the Egyptian paganism that filtered through into Babylon and into Greece, into Rome. You know, the Catholic Church took elements of that, combined it with the Christians who they were burning at the stake and, you know, feeding to lions for 300 years, came up with this thing called Roman Catholicism, okay? But if you look at what the Roman Catholic Church did to Christians who were trying to read the Bible and trying to distribute the Bible, you know, it was torture, inquisitions, burning at the stake, and this sort of thing. So that's, again, you know, this concept of the Queen of Heaven, okay, you know, Mary, the Mother of God, okay, that's not biblical, okay, that's borrowed, again, that's the repackaged, you know, horde.
Isn't that Revelation, Rob?
Yeah, I'm just giving you the best example of it, okay, this isn't the only example, I'm just giving you the best example.
But Queen of Heaven and Earth, isn't that in the Revelation? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this is where this symbolism is coming from. Okay, you're talking. It meant a woman drunken with the blood of saints. Okay, now, this is not a literal. You know, this isn't some woman sitting in sitting in the middle of the woods somewhere. You know, getting drunk on wine. This is the whore goddess. Okay, again, it's this concept.
Yes, so that's the best.
The blood of saints. In other words, this is the best example. But the Catholic Church, I mean, let me put it to you this way. The only entity that I see that comes close and what I call the horse race for the identification of Mystery Babylon is the Catholic Church. But it falls short because it is not the economic focal point. It is not the economic center. It is not the engine of wars, Darwinism, and this sort of thing.
No, if you look at a certain time, when it was corrupt, a very corrupt church. But let's jump right here. So I'm thinking, and let me see if you are, this woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. This is a different woman than the mother of prostitutes and the whore of Babylon, or where to say, the prostitute on the beast. So this is where we're not at, you know, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, which is in another chapter or whatever. So my interpretation is that this person's thriving on
this evil person that's part of Satan's plan, this woman is planning on taking anyone doing great good and destroying them. And through the blood of pain, anguish, difficulties, falls, that's what they want, the blood of the suffering and stuff. Is that correct? So you think maybe possibly the Catholic Church is that woman, but who else could specifically put? You can book a Planned Parenthood as one of them, right?
I'm going to say, look, again, the woman is nature itself. It's this concept of Gaia, okay? That is the whore goddess, okay? Now, look, and I'm not saying, there's a legitimate environmental, we're to take care of the earth, but we're given domain over the earth. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, okay? But what we have done in this country is we have deified nature, okay? And we're not the first ones to do this, okay? Hitler, the Illuminati, the forerunners to communism, okay, the ancient Egyptians, okay, they worshipped nature. They worshipped the Nile River, okay? That was another, the female, the water, the waters at birth, okay? That all traces back, symbolically. This is what the Egyptians tied to the Nile. And maybe in another show, we can go through the 10 plagues of Egypt, and a lot of the symbolism will become very apparent when you go through the plagues one by one, and this will become much more apparent. But anyway, so it's a panoramic view of world history. And at the focal point is this worship of nature, okay? And the way it has manifested itself today is in the radical environmental movement, where we get things like wars, abortion. What I'm saying in the Un-American Genocidal Complex is the purposeful deployment of the AIDS virus. It's just one example to cull the population, to decrease the population of the world. Think of that as the blood of the martyrs, so you could see where the Catholic Church is just one very small slice of this blood of the saints and of the poor people of the earth that have been victims to this satanic conspiracy that has been really at work since Genesis 1. Okay, and we are just seeing it manifest itself in these last days in which we are now living. Okay, hopefully that answers your question.
I agree with you, in the fact of, what we were saying about the environmental movement. Okay, so when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. The angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I explained to you that the mystery of the woman and the beast that she rides, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was what now is not, and yet will come." What's that mean, Rob?
Well, my interpretation, now again, we talked about this again briefly last week, okay, the beast, when you look at the beast, okay, it is symbolic of the entire world. Revelation 13, the beast rises up out of the sea. Okay, and there's an image of the beast, but what I'm interpreting, when it says the beast that was and is not and yet is, now this is around AD 95, again, when John's writing this, so the beast that was is the one world system, okay, and the original one world system goes all the way back to the original Tower of Babel, okay, the original Babylon under Nimrod, okay, who I don't want to go into that right now because it'll go off on a tangent, but Nimrod and his wife, Semiramis, was, again, you have that concept of the male and the female. Okay, in the case of Nimrod, it's his, it's the son. It's the son of God and his whore mother, okay? And I don't want to go into that right now. It gets into Cain and Eve and all this kind of thing, which, again, ties directly into ancient Egypt and Isis and Osiris and their son Horus. But anyway, what I'm saying, what this is saying, is that the beast that was is the world system under Nimrod, and it's not, because we did not have a world system. We had the Roman Empire, which conquered most of the civilized world, or what we call the civilized world, but it never reached the China and Japan and the Far East and the entire world. And then the beast that yet is again this one world system, which, as I mentioned before, is going to happen, but it's going to be very short lived. Okay, but it is going to be this, you know, this man, you know, this human, or this, you know, this brotherhood of man. Remember John Lennon, you know, the Beatles, you know, brotherhood of man. It all sounds good in a six-year-old fairy tale sense, but in reality, we know that stuff doesn't work. And maybe it works at these Ivy League colleges and these other academic hacks that are ruining this country, okay? But it doesn't work in reality. But anyway, that's what the symbolism is here, is that this beast, this one world system under Nimrod, is going to rise again. Man is sinful, but you're trying to create a government of man. It just does not work. So that is what I believe the symbolism is there. And then, you know, you jump down to the next verse, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Okay, now what are mountains? Again, this is where people go off track. You know, they say Rome, the city of Rome sits on seven hills. It's, oh, well, this has to be Rome. But no, again, the seven is the number. It symbolizes biblical creation, okay, or not, excuse me, biblical fullness, okay. You know, for example, you go back to Matthew chapter 18, you know, and Peter comes up to Jesus and says, you know, how many times shall we forgive somebody that sins against us? And, you know, Peter says seven times, and Jesus says, no, 70 times seven times. Okay, so in other words, what's he saying there? He's not saying that, you know, count to 490 and four, you know, time 491, you know, let the guy have it. That's ridiculous. So in other words, that's just one example. Number seven means completion. Okay, so when he says seven mountains, mountains symbolize empires, he's saying the entire world, this woman sits in control of the entire world. And what controls the entire world? What economy controls the entire world economy but these very United States, the Anglo-American establishment, the Rothschild, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan complex, again, that we know as the un-American genocidal complex. So that's what's coming into focus here.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And so let's go into more of this. So we talked about the seven heads and horns, but we're going to have to take a break, and we'll jump into that to continue the conversation. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil F. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm with Rob Roselli, Box of Sunglasses.com, to purchase his book and learn more about him. And we continue the conversation as we've talked about. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the calls from a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills. Good. Yes.
Oh, no. Okay, I just want to get with this one, because when I was going, we're kind of in a tie. We're going line by line.
Line nine, chapter 17, line nine. This calls
okay.
For mind with wisdom. The seven heads are the seven hills in which the woman sits. They are like seven kings. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for only a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is the eighth king. He belongs to the seventh and is going to his destruction. Is this meaning that there's going to be a dictatorship soon? The leadership, we're going to lose our role as a democracy, things like that. Is that speaking in that section in lines 9 through 11?
Yes, but again, okay, this is what's unfolded before our very eyes, okay, but again, it's going to be a short-lived, a very chaotic scene, okay, is what's playing out here, okay? Now, it's there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. In other words, you know, that says to me, okay, you know, you got the five kingdoms, and I spell these out, you know, in my line, and there's a Mystery Babylon section, okay, and again, it's another thing we're breezing over as we talk here, okay, but there's a lot of information behind what I'm saying here, you know, on my website, but yes, you know, there will be an economic collapse in this worldwide fake peace treaty that's going to arise out of that collapse, And after that, and we'll get into this in, you know, in the subsequent lines in 17 and 18, there's going to be a calamitous nuclear event that is going to take out this whore of Babylon. So to answer your question, yes, I mean, that will happen for a very brief time. And we can see the framework being laid for this, you know, with Homeland Security and the NSA spying scandal and this control grid that's being set up around us. It has been in motion for years, okay, the Social Security system and all this sort of thing. You know, the Agenda 21, the environmental movement, the control of people under the guise of, you know, saving us from climate change and this sort of thing. Again, climate change, you know, sacrificing people to the whore goddess Isis, or what we know today as Gaia or Mother Earth. Okay, so all these current events that are coming to the forefront are ensconced or in the symbolism that we are talking about here.
Seems like. All right. So, and that's accepted. So that was like 9 to 11, which really means almost in symbolism. Next, the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. That could be possibly Congress, right?
No. This is, you know, this is a verse. This is one verse where people were saying, oh, the European Union, it's coming, you know, this is the beast, and, you know, it's going to be 10 nations, and then a lot of people were looking at this line. Again, 10 is another number. Again, that's symbolic in the Bible as fullness or completion, okay? And look, we can spend, and maybe this is a good future show, is just talk about numerology, you know, and both in the symbolism of the Bible and in occultism. Okay, and I can pick these numbers up, you know, with the Georgia Guidestones, and remember last week we talked about, you know, what the real number is, 6 plus 6 plus 6, the number of the beast is really 18, okay, symbolic of the Rosicrucians, or the Rosy Cross, you know, the rose, the flower, Osiris, okay, the dead flower rising up once again, which is, again, this ties into this symbolism, and the cross, the four kingdoms of nature, or the whore goddess, or the female Isis, okay. So the 10 horns being 10 kings, I don't believe there's a literal number that can be attached to that. I mean, how many other nations there are in the world, 130 or 132 or whatever it is, that is, I believe, what these 10 horns are, okay? And they haven't received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Again, that 1 hour, okay, that's not a literal 1 hour, okay? What's 1 hour and what it means there is a very short time span. What exactly that time span is, I don't know, okay? And another thing I should mention is I'm not one of these date-setting people. Every time somebody tries to set a specific date, they turn out to be wrong, okay? And I believe it's not biblical. If you read Acts chapter 1, the symbolism, okay, Matthew, the end of the Olivet Discourse, okay, you know, Jesus says, you know, just keep working. Don't worry about the times. Don't worry about trying to set dates. Okay, so people want to just read up on that. Acts chapter 1, Matthew, the end of Matthew 24. But anyway, the 10 horns which thou sawest, the 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, they're going to be part of this one world peace accord, okay, and the focal point, I believe, of that is going to be the United Nations, okay, and then the next line, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, okay, and again, the beast is the rising up of this, again, remember the beast that was is not and yet is, the rising up of the one world system under the modern day Nimrod, okay, or the modern-day image of Satan himself, okay, which is the Antichrist system, okay. So that's yes. What's coming into focus here. Now we just went through that. We just finished up verse 13. Now jumping down to verse 14, I think this is kind of like, you know, John is kind of riding.
So So any more the authority of the beast, one person will give their power to the authority of the beast. Then they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, faithful followers. So this is the end times. This is where finally everything, all the wars begin, and finally there's a triumph at the end, right?
Well, I think this verse right here, you have to remember, okay, now John, you know, he's welcomed into heaven. Remember, you know, a door opens in heaven, and John goes, he's writing. He's trying to break down events that are happening in a world or in a reality that is outside our four-dimensional reality, where we are bound by three dimensions, you know, and one dimension of time. Okay, so what this says to me, verse 14 is almost like a breakout. Okay, what I believe that this is pointing to is the battle of Armageddon. Okay, the final battle. Okay, or what some people call the battle of Gog and Magog. Okay, which people are, you know, I believe are misinterpreting. But what this says to me is that this beast, at one point in the future, will try to make war, you know, with the Lamb. You know, obviously the Lamb is the return of God. Okay, so what this is, you can almost bracket this out and just put it aside. John's just mentioning that. It's like these are the guys in the future that are going to be the adversaries of the return of God at the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, so that one in your mind, just put that verse in parentheses. Okay, then when you jump down to verse 15, it says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Okay, "and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, ye shall hate them." Well, let's just stop there before we get into that. But let's just, verse 15. So again, this just edifies or reinforces what I was saying, is that the symbolism, and again, if you know, you go back to Revelation 13 and the description of the beast, sure, that rises out of the ocean. It's mankind itself, as led by its leader, which is Satan. Okay. But anyway, this is, so he's just saying, he's describing what the beast actually is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now it's saying where the whore sits. In other words, the whore, remember the whore is riding on the beast, okay? So you got the whore and you got the beast, okay? And the whore is the people of the United States who have, just like ancient Israel, who in a very real sense, you know, this is modern day Israel. Okay, this is if you look at the United States, you know, this is a chosen land. This is a great land, okay? You know, with the people, and again, going back to our history, we are the modern-day Israel in the sense of, you know, the 40-day or the 40 years, and they came to the promised land. The United States is the promised land. And in Freemasonry occultism, this is just an aside, okay? The United States is called New Atlantis, okay, which is very interesting.
Okay.
When you look at the parallels between Atlantis and Babel, the Tower of Babel, a one-world system, okay, I believe they're the same thing. Okay, so in other words, there's a group of people out there that really believe that this is the ultimate rebellion. In other words, going all the way back to Genesis, okay, you know, these people really believe that they can take on God, and the God of the Bible that we both believe in and follow is the evil one, because it's a controlling God. It's a mean God. It's a God of wrath and vengeance. Okay, this is what's coming into focus here. Okay, but anyway, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations. So in other words, the beast is, the whore is riding on top of this beast, okay, you know, which implies, you know, a horse and a rider, okay, she's on top of it, but she's not really in control of it. And then in this next verse, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Okay, and I see we're coming up on the end of the hour already. But this is what I'm getting at. This is what I was talking about before. Okay, the beast hates the whore and will burn her with fire. This is where I'm saying, and we'll get into the symbolism, I guess, at this point next week. And we get into the end of 17 and get into 18 and the sudden destruction. But you can just see this. the nations of the world are really starting to hate the United States. And when we prance around the world starting wars and picking and choosing, you know, who stays and who goes, I mean, look at the arrogance of this nation. Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, Assad in Syria, and I'm not saying these are great guys, but who the hell are we to moralize to the world about what democracy is and who stays and who goes when we have some skeletons, i.e. the abortion industry and the wars, the Vietnam War, and all these other wars that really serve no purpose. I mean, we are the warmongering nation under the guise of the military-industrial complex, or what I'm calling, again, the un-American genocidal complex. And you can just read the papers every day, okay, of the hatred, the seething hatred that the world is acquiring or is growing against the United States. China, Russia, many countries in the Middle East now are looking at Russia and they're saying, the United States unleashed these ISIS, these Shiite Muslim maniacs to take over our countries. And then the United States caused all this, and then they desert us. And now they're looking to the Russians and the Chinese. They're going to have
Could you imagine? Could this be part of it? Is that with the Russian plane being bombed, that Russia decided to try to wipe out ISIS completely? And then that causes
the U.S. to want
to intervene.
The bigger point is what I'm getting at, is to tie it into this language, is this seething hatred of these United States, these arrogant United States, okay? And again, I'm speaking from the viewpoint that this isn't my country. The people running this country, this isn't my country, okay? This is why Obama has Homeland Security and, you know, calling people like, you know, you and me right-wing extremists, because he knows that the good people of this nation, that there's a seething anger in this nation that hates the leadership of this nation. But that's happening internally, but externally, people are looking at the United States as a whole, and they hate us, okay? And this is what's being talked about in verse 16, okay? And I know, see, we're coming up at the end here. Now we're getting to verse 18, and again, there's many parallels to the Old Testament about how God used different nations to punish the nation of Israel. We'll pick this up, I guess. If you remember this, if I don't, we'll say we'll start off at verse...
Yeah, we'll start up. I'll remember exactly where 17. We're going to go. Rob, okay, so the best place to find information and purchase a book is to go to?
Boxofsunglasses.com. Again, there's thousands of hours of research and hundreds of footnotes. Everything I'm talking about, again, please bear with me here, but, you know, it's a one-hour show. I'm trying to cover literally world history in an hour, and hopefully I'm doing a decent job. But anyway, boxofsunglasses.com.
You definitely are. And so we'll continue the conversation, Rob. So thanks again for calling. And next week, we'll continue the conversation covering Revelations. Take care.
I know. God bless.
All right, God bless. All right. Again, that was the Total Spotlight Show. Take care, guys. We'll talk tomorrow. Good day, everyone.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.